Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Already, today we are proud to announce the results of the FBI's Operation Restore Justice Initiative. This historic, unprecedented nationwide operation led to the arrest of 205 child sex predators. Unbelievable. In just 5 days. This was an incredible operation done in conjunction with the FBI and our prosecutors. Children and their families now have a chance to heal. These are online predators. Think about this. 115 victims, children, in 5 days, we were able to help. This kind of work takes a toll on the FBI agents and the prosecutors who are doing this every single day. They are working tirelessly online, dealing with the dregs of our society, the worst of the worst, the people that hide behind a computer and target our young children every single day. Our law enforcement, our prosecutors, sit there and deal with this every day to get these monsters off the street. Director Patel and I, almost daily in our meetings, talk about these cases and what it does to our officers and our prosecutors, but also how many lives are being saved and how many children are being helped by this. Director Patel is going to get into the specific cases with you in a minute, but what I will tell you is these depraved human beings, if convicted, will face the maximum penalty in prison.
That's Attorney General Pam Bondi and making this announcement about these arrests. Now, you've heard me talk quite a bit about, over the course of time, the usage of cell phones, social media, the internet among our kids. When you start pulling back the curtain on the predators that exist that are just out there hunting for your kids, who understand the systems that are in place more than, you know, the parents who did not grow up with them, the law enforcement who has their hands full with a whole copious amount of different things. It is such a terrifying, it's a terrifying reality, but very refreshing to see that our law enforcement system with the FBI and then led by Pam Bondi, the attorney general, getting to the bottom of some of these and making these arrests. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Happy to have you here with us on a Wednesday afternoon. Beautiful day outside. would like to be outside today. Monday, we're going to be at the St. Clair County Golf Scramble. Is it at Tamarack again? Before I say
it
that.
It is at Tamarack.
Good. Golf course. I would love to see you out there Monday. You can go to the St. Clair County GOP Facebook page, I'm sure, to find out details about how you can sign up if there are any spots left. But go golf. Hang out with us Monday afternoon. It's going to be beautiful. I promise I control the weather. Like the... just look at those chemtrails. You guys want to talk about chemtrails?
I do.
Are you a chemtrails guy?
No, not really.
Brad?
No.
I have to ask you.
If there's a chemtrail guy
in person in this room right now, everybody knows it's you, Ryan.
It would be me, but I'm not a chemtrails guy.
Ryan's like, I can't stand them.
There are conspiracies.
I don't support them at all.
That I very much dive into, and that's not one of them. It's just not.
I do want to get a little bit more into some of the details of what the FBI has uncovered here. We're going to speak with Harris Faulkner in 15 minutes from now. And her new show on Fox, America's Most Wanted Missing Persons. Real quick before we dive a little bit deeper into what the FBI has announced today. You know what's jarring to me about the Harris Faulkner show is that it's just news. It's not really politics. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a Fox News show, and it's called America's Most Wanted Missing Persons. Fox News anchor Harris Faulkner is getting back to her true crime roots by helping missing people from around the nation as they try to reunite with their loved ones. Do you know anybody, Ryan, who has a missing person in their life?
I don't think so.
Brad, do you?
I don't.
I know at least two situations.
No kidding.
Where people have just gone missing, and human trafficking is certainly suspect in one of those cases.
Wow.
I know of somebody who's missing a female family member in their life, and I know somebody who is missing a male. And that is a bottomless pit. I don't even know these people, the missing people personally, but I know and care about people who are missing them. It's just horrible to think about living in that kind of an existence of just not knowing and wondering and hoping in perpetuity that this missing person would be no longer missing.
These aren't, I don't want you to tell me a lot if you can, but these aren't children, but they're younger people, I assume?
Younger people. Yeah, the female may have been a minor when she went missing. If not, she was maybe
close.
18, 19, 20 or something like that. Like I said, I know them through acquaintances, but it's just kind of like people go missing and the rest of the world keeps spinning. I remember one time I had a very dear loved one who was in the hospital for COVID, and it was when people were not making it through COVID. It was in 2020. And I couldn't even take a full breath the entire time this person was in the hospital, laid up, trying to beat COVID. And I remember driving past a golf course that was near the hospital while I was making a trip back and forth to bring something that was needed, whatever, to the hospital, and then leaving again. And I remember driving past the golf course and seeing people out golfing, going about their life. And I was so hurt by the fact that the entire world had stopped rotating for me. Everything was standing completely still because nothing was going to matter until the situation of the person who was in the hospital was resolved. And then my world would catch back up again. But meanwhile, the rest of the world just keeps going on about their business. And then it also occurred to me that there are times where I'm out living my life and other people have their world be stopped. And that's what these missing persons have to be like. If you don't know the unknown, if you lose somebody to a tragedy, terrible, if you understand maybe why the person ran away but then never came back, also mentally challenging to go through and understand, but boy, to just have them be missing. And then you partner this, like I was saying originally, like Harris Faulkner is going into these true crime roots as cited here by Fox News, but the level of human trafficking, every once in a while when Jim Carafano would be on the show, I'd be like, will you please tell us, when you say human trafficking, but more specifically, when you say child trafficking, will you explain in as much FCC permitted detail what child trafficking means? What was the movie that came out that was a huge, huge movie that had to do with child trafficking. The guy.
Yeah, it's from Angel Studios. I know the movie. I can't think of
the name. The Sound of Freedom?
That's yeah. It. I never saw it because I didn't have the stomach for it. But this is something that is happening. We know it's happening. It's not questionable, right? Am I wrong here? It's not questionable that this type of child trafficking is taking place.
Oh, no, not at all.
Sexual exploitation, raping, selling of children, that's happening in our country right now. And we just casually go about our day?
I know.
I kind of look at myself, I'm like, what's wrong with me?
I'm not
screaming out the windows, like, people, wake up. We have to address this.
Well, back to what Pam Bondi, you know, opened the segment with the Pam Bondi clip. She's doing press conferences saying this is a priority. We're talking about this every day. And the thing is, I find this interesting because if you go back to the Biden years, it's not as if they weren't finding these rings and arresting people and busting them up. They were doing some of that. The FBI was doing that. But they never talked about it. You never had Merrick Garland going out and saying, this might be the number one priority for our administration, for this DOJ. And it needs to be.
Like Kash Patel here?
Our children. If you harm our children, you will be given no sanctuary. There is no place we will not come to hunt you down. There is no place we will not look for you. And there is no cage we will not put you in should you do harm to our children. The prioritization of this administration and General Bondi has made it abundantly clear to child predators, you will be hunted down and you will be prosecuted. And that is a refreshing thing to hear for the men and women who do this work tirelessly. And it's also an acknowledgement of the safety that we look forward to bringing America.
So there you have the director of the FBI in no uncertain terms saying this is the status of law enforcement in the United States of America sees these people and they are hunting you. You will not escape their focus, their attention, and the resources that they have to find you. And to your point, like, why hasn't this been made a bigger priority? Are you for the death penalty for these people?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, is it even a question?
No, I don't know why you'd have to think about
that. How do you rehabilitate somebody like that?
Now, people would come along and say, well, we want to make sure that they're, you know, we got the right person. We don't have anybody on death row who didn't belong there. Okay, that's fine. But
yeah, you don't have to rush to it.
Yeah, but it still should be the punishment.
More from this story here. Fox News reports the FBI is investigating a sophisticated criminal network targeting kids and teens online known as 764. This is what terrifies me as a mom. So, yes, these stories are terrible. You do not have to be a parent to be like, go get them. I completely support these efforts. You know, tie them up once you find them and prove that they are guilty. The predators are known for targeting minors on social media and using coercion to get them to film themselves committing violent or sexual acts and then using those videos to extort minors for increasing violent or sexual videos that are then shared with, quote, 764 followers online. The FBI told Fox News that the FBI is investigating at least 250 subjects who are tied to violent online networks commonly referred to as 764, but includes many offshoot networks and names. All 55 FBI field offices across the country are involved in these investigations. The agency added that it is, quote, growing increasingly concerned about a loose network of violent predators who befriend minors and other vulnerable individuals through popular online platforms and then coerce them into escalating sexual and violent behavior, pushing victims to create graphic content, child sexual abuse material, which is referred to as CSAM, which I did not know that, but that I've seen that abbreviation other places, but child sexual abuse material, CSAM or CSAM, harm family pets, cut themselves with sharp objects, or attempt suicide. If your kid is using Discord, Snapchat is supposed to be the worst offender of all of these things because in Snapchat, you're probably familiar with this if you have Snapchat on a phone inside your household. Maybe it's yours, maybe it's your kid's. Those messages that get sent back and forth, they disappear. When there is a skepticism about the appropriateness of messages, Snapchat does not cooperate with the authorities. An app that is created where you can send messages back and forth and the messages forever disappear? This is a recipe for disaster. Of course, there are ways you can use Snapchat that are fun, that are friendly, that are not negative in any way, shape, or form. The key is that you're putting, with applications like this, you are thrusting your child into a hotbed of predators looking for your kid. And if you think about that, like, if you knew, I'm making this up, obviously, but if you knew that, like, there'd be five sexual predators in every movie theater across America, but the movie theater's full, but there's only five of them, would you knowingly just turn your child over to go to the movies by themselves to take place in 2 hours, 3 hours of entertainment in a room in the dark by themselves when you know that those people are in there? I don't think you would. And I don't think that parents totally understand how aggressive these predators are using apps like that. Discord is a huge one. Roblox is a big one. It's the ability to communicate to these children unsupervised. Let's take a really quick break. Harris Faulkner is going to join us when we return. She is a host of America's Most Wanted Missing Persons. Quick break. Harris Faulkner when we come back.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we appreciate you hanging around for that break here. I know that you're excited to hear our next guest. She has a new show on Fox News, and I know you're going to want to watch this. A lot of people who are interested in true crime, but it's really important to put that true crime interest to good practice, and Harris Faulkner is certainly doing that. Harris Faulkner joins us now, anchor and host of The Faulkner Focus, and outnumbered on Fox News, and now America's Most Wanted Missing Persons. Harris, welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. Good to have you.
Oh, thank you, Annie. I am so honored to be working on this project. I mean, more than 2,000 people, 2,300 people daily are reported missing in this country. And while the majority of those cases are closed within 24 to 72 hours, they're not always closed the way we would want them to be, but at least those loved ones, those people who worry about the missing in their own homes and families, at least they get some answers that they can move forward with.
Yeah.
But when you have unknown, it's an open wound. And for these families not to have their loved ones, some as young as three that we've been featuring on the show, even younger, I think we had like a 2.5-year-old. Yes. I mean, people being taken, people missing for different reasons. Perhaps, you know, we had a young boy in our first and second episode who was autistic. And in the first episode, we got the information out. Second episode, we had a little bit of an update. Mm. And we're going to have that, I believe, going into Monday night because the calls and tips are already coming in. When you lean in to go into a pretty, well, not active investigation, and sometimes they only look for a short period of time, especially cities and towns where they don't have the resources to keep looking and looking. But when you turn a cold case red hot like this, it's amazing how many Americans will say, wait, let me go check my Ring doorbell for footage. Oh, yeah, that's up in the cloud. I still have it from last year.
Yeah.
They'll check. They'll say, yeah, I saw something. Oh, I think from that picture being circulated. 1-866-AMW-TIPS. You'll hear me say it throughout Missing Persons. People are making a difference already with their credible sightings.
Yeah, I think it's so wonderful that you're providing actual measurable hope for people who have been missing loved ones, and being able to put that phone number out and potentially create one lead. That's really all it takes. I said Fox News before, but it's actually on Fox, which is even better. You're going to reach quite a few people with this new show. Tell me about your true crime roots that you have here. How'd you get into this?
Well, I was with a show called A Current Affair. And I had left local news after 15 years and said, nope, I'm going to go do something different. I had 6 Emmys, and I said, and I had just gotten married. And I said, yep, I'm going to go take my blessings in a different direction. And what was ushered into my life, I could never have guessed. I was on the story of Natalie Holloway from very early on. And it was just circumstances. I happened to be on Aruba working for A Current Affair on a different story. And I was at a hotel counter, the Holiday Inn on the beach there, really beautiful string of beaches there. And I was at the counter, and I saw a woman with beautiful blonde hair, and she was crying and talking with the clerk, and I heard her voice, and I said, oh, she's a fellow American. And it was in the evening. I'd gone to this next door hotel up the beach to have dinner by myself and kind of chill. And I said, let me see if there's anything I can do to help a fellow American. And she started to tell me about Natalie Holloway. And when I sat with her, it was the first time that a reporter had really gotten the entire, you know, story. It had only been a couple of days. Nobody else was on the island yet, Annie.
Yeah.
And within, I'd say 4 or 5 days, it was a multinational story. There were people coming from all over the globe to cover that story of a missing American high schooler, beautiful Natalie Holloway. 29 days later, in shows that I anchored from there, I went as a correspondent and ended up hosting because I was closest to the story for A Current Affair. 29 days later, I got ready to leave, and I said, this will haunt me until they find her. I'm still haunted by that story, and I'm not a relative.
Yeah.
Imagine Beth, and I've seen her over the years. I've run into her. I did a special on her. It's hard. It's really hard to look someone in the eye and know that the story is out of the headlines now. It was one of the biggest stories of the decade back then.
Yeah.
Right?
It certainly was.
And I look now and I want to bring the stories forth. If we have time to scroll and to play games and to do all the things that we do on ourselves, if we have time for our devices to lead us to entertainment, then I know that they can lead us through to helping someone bring a loved one home. Just putting the story out there means that people have seen this person who's missing. It means that they have a number they can call or a website they can go to, amwtips.com. There are just so many ways that we create and then bring that interactive in podcasting. We have wonderful people as our panel of experts. It's done kind of like a talk show, but it's true crime, and it's about bringing missing loved ones home. It is a hard news format with soft edges. That's what I say, because we're all really dedicated to this. Callahan Walsh is the son of John Walsh, who started 30 years ago America's Most Wanted, and he's been on the panel a couple of times. And then we've had Elizabeth Smart, a kidnapping survivor. For the episode coming up this Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, Kara Chamberlain, people may have seen the movie, kidnapped when she was 15 from the front yard of her friend in daylight by a stranger. Rare, rare, rare. Both she and Elizabeth Smart are so blessed. They came home, but not, I mean, they couldn't have done it without the help of the public in both those instances. So I'm really, really thrilled that we can shine a light on some of these cases and help these families to find, and you know, hopefully find them alive.
Amen. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that certainly is a hope that anybody who has a missing person that they're clinging to, and answers is what they truly need. And America's Most Wanted Missing Persons by you, Harris Faulkner, on Fox. People are going to check it out. 7 o'clock our time on Monday. I can't wait to check it out and see hopefully what kind of successful results you have.
I'm really excited. It's a 3-episode event, and this is the 3rd episode. So please don't miss it. We'll have updates. And Gabby Petito's dad saw one of the cases on TV, our first episode, and flew to Arizona to be with the father of a missing 26-year-old son, and he will be with us. I'll spend some good time with Joe Petito on the next episode. He'll be right at the expert panel with us. Wow.
Yeah. That's going to be something to see for sure. All right. Well, let me ask you something, because I want to tap in a little bit to you as a mother. You and I have a 15-year-old and an almost 13-year-old. So I know that we have children that are close to the same age. We have an announcement from the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, along with Kash Patel, the FBI director, next to her. This morning, and they're talking about the arrests of these people who have been predators towards children. Social media is involved, obviously the internet, phone access. There's a solicitation for children. They go after kids. They find kids where kids are on the internet, and then they coerce them into doing some lewd things, some inappropriate things, some self-harm things. And we've heard that this administration is prioritizing going after these people. How do you hear this story as a mom? I know as a reporter, you're going to follow these things, but, you know, how do we protect our kids?
Well, that's our number one focus, you know, as parents, protection. We are the line of defense against the rest of the world. And as a civil society, those among us who can offer us nothing but their company, our young children, our elderly, that's our responsibility to protect them. As a mom, it hits on so many different levels. And you know, Annie, I try to take these situations, especially news stories that come out, I try to take them as a teaching moment for my girls, but not teaching them only about how not to end up in a situation or what the lessons are about that particular case, but I also teach them the power of prayer through instances like what you're describing. We can pray. We can pray for the wholeness of those who worry and for those who have lost and for the well-being of those who've been harmed. And so as a mother, that's really how it hits me. As a journalist, it's different, but that's my job. The rest of this is my divine assignment by the Lord to stay focused on making sure that we lift those up who need it through our prayer.
I think that's incredibly wise advice. And I think, too, that when we understand our priorities in life and understanding that if you have the blessing to be a parent or to look after those who require our attention in that capacity, that everything, journalism and politics and everything, should serve that ultimate purpose. Do you feel as though there's a shift at all in attention to the internet, into how kids are exposed? There's a generational gap here of people who are in charge did not grow up in the same set of circumstances that we're raising our children in right now. I'm not 100% sure how we close that gap, but it looks like there's an effort to try to.
Oh, absolutely, there's an effort. And, you know, every generation can say, well, we're different than the one before, but this is the only generation that will have artificial intelligence infused. Like that, there is no other generation like the youngest among us right now who are growing up and those who come after. So with that in mind, how do we protect them? How do we use the technology that can make life easier in some instances, particularly when it comes to disseminating information quickly? I prefer true and honest information, both receiving it and disseminating it myself. So sometimes it can get complicated because it's like turning on a faucet full force and there's just so much coming out. How do you tell? But, you know, we will figure out ways to make it useful for us. The thing that works against us is time, because the longer kids are exposed to too much of that device life and not enough life, I think it damages us in immeasurable ways and for a long period of time. You know, my youngest is just turned 16 on May 1st. My oldest is 18 now, and she's getting ready to start her freshman year in college at the end of the summer. And I look at how dynamically different they are, and they haven't even been on devices their entire lives.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we protected them for a period of time, so they started later than everybody else. But at the same time, I mean, that catch up is quick. They're exposed to, I mean, it's just the world coming through their cell phone. Now, my youngest is not exactly good about keeping her phone charged, and I'm not mad about that.
Yeah, let that go.
Yeah, I'm like, that means you can't get stuck on it.
Yeah.
But I do realize that when I want to hear them, when I want to see them on FaceTime, they're on the other end. So there's a way to make it worth their while to find the good ways to use their cell phones. And I'll say now, you know, to my youngest, I'm going to reach out to you after track practice. I want to hear the first report. I want you to break the news with mom on FaceTime. And we do that sort of thing together. But we also have pretty strict rules around you don't go to bed with your phone.
Yes.
Like, why should I have to say that? but I do, you know, and I think parents then have to take that role of I'm less friend and more parent and get tougher. And society in general, I like the fact that the current administration is focused on this.
Yes, I do too.
I like their sensibilities on this because what they're saying is, look, parents, we're going to help you out. We're going to make sure that the playing field out there doesn't have your kids being targeted by credit card ads and all the kind. Because everything that comes up in your phone, have you ever noticed you buy a pair of shoes online and then suddenly there's a company in your email that isn't the one you just shopped at, but they're selling shoes?
We are the product.
What did you say?
I said we are the product. I mean,
Gosh, I know.
It's terrifying, especially when you inject children into it. It certainly does get scary.
I'm writing that Annie-ism down.
Okay,
we are the product.
Well, I do
that, by the way, to your audience often when I talk to you.
Well, I appreciate that so much, and we will be watching America's Most Wanted: Missing Persons, the third installment on Fox, 7 o'clock Central Time here in St. Louis. Harris Faulkner, it's such a pleasure to speak with you. Thanks for being with us.
All local Fox stations, broadcast free. Bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Channel 2, Fox. You know what? We have YouTube TV at my house, and there are no channel numbers. So, like, if I'm thinking Fox, it's 2. CBS is 4. NBC would be 5. ABC would be 30. I said that one time to the kids. They were like, where are the Cardinals playing? I'm like, oh, they're on Channel 2 tonight. And they just looked at me like, 2? Where do you find 2? And I'm like, oh, fine. It's Fox. Just find it. So this will be on Channel 2 or Fox, wherever you find that on your smart television. Harris Faulkner, always a joy to speak to. All right, Wiggins America, when we come back, 9 things you should keep to yourself. We'll see what Ryan Wiggins has to say about that. He's always giving us advice. Have you noticed that? We'll get him in here. Ethan will probably join us as well. Come to us on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Say hi and vote in today's YouTube live chat poll. Will Democrat usage of profanity be an effective tool for their party? Yes or no? What do you think? Go vote. Say hi in the chat. We'll be right back. Just keeping up with the job. I don't know what to do.
I just wanted to get everyone excited for Wiggins America today.
When you write a song like this, which is a beautiful song.
This is an amazing song. Don't turn it down.
Do you know that people are going to make fun of it, though?
Who's making fun of it?
Oh, it's a funny song to make fun of, even though it's a pretty song.
Yeah, it's heartless.
It's a great song to play when somebody is just mildly offended.
It is.
It's a great song for memes, too.
It's on the same level as, like, 'Cause You Had a Bad Day, that song.
No, that one's a little more cheery. This one's like, oh man, you are in some pain. And it's like somebody.
I put it on the same. Like they used
you a
to.
Bad
this
name.
Used to be the music when they did the mean tweets back in the day. I think that was Jimmy Kimmel's.
See,
bit.
That's what I mean.
That's what
it's,
they did. That's what
comedic.
The song was.
I'm upset.
And then if you're actually that depressed, you listen to it and you're like, dang, this song hits.
Yeah,
it's a good song.
Curled up in the fetal.
Have you ever been this sad before?
Oh heck yeah.
Okay.
Who hasn't?
Okay. Just want to see if you'd admit it.
Well, my on-air persona would say no.
I know. That's why I'm surprised that you...
I've never been sad before.
Yeah, exactly. Who do you think this is? Gary Wood? Play the...
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Wiggins!
You wanted to get through the second chorus.
Okay.
All right. These are 9 things you should always keep to yourself, so let's broadcast them.
We don't need to, like, say the details.
Well, these are themes, I guess, you should keep to yourself. I want to see if you agree. From Parade Magazine, but it's psychologists that they're citing. Number one.
I think Parade Magazine is a legit publication.
I like the real Parade Magazine, not the online, the one that came in the newspaper.
I think it's the same thing.
Well, I'm sure it is. I'm just saying, I liked holding the Parade Magazine. It was like a unique little thing.
Okay. Things you shouldn't share.
Getting
I like
started.
To hold it in my hands.
Sticking like with the theme. Number one, opinions on other people's lifestyle choices. Have you ever felt tempted to say something to a friend or family member about something they are doing that you would do differently without them asking you to?
Yeah, I, as an opinionated person myself, I have to kind of be like all in or all out on this one, and I've been all out for about 10 years.
On everybody? No yeah. matter who?
Yeah. I just can't... I don't need people who don't know me or don't know why I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing telling me their advice unsolicited. Of course, I will ask for advice from people I care about, but...
I agree.
You don't... I got to say, too, from a political standpoint, you know, you're talking about lifestyle choices. Lifestyle choices have been in the news quite a bit in the last 15 years, I would say. And I think that the biggest thing that is nonpartisan across all ideologies is whatever. Just you don't have to make it. It's kind of the opposite of me coming to you, Ryan, and saying something about the way you're living. There's the forcing of the way I'm living upon everybody else that has gone way overboard. So like, okay, fine, you do you, whatever. I'm going to come over here and do whatever I want to do, make my lifestyle choices, and we don't need to broadcast every single thing about ourselves to everybody all the time, I said on my radio show.
The way that you interpret this question really would depend on whether you're talking about being the person receiving the advice or giving the advice. Like if you're the one giving it, you'd say, oh, there's times you could do that. If you're receiving it, you're like, probably not. Probably don't want to ever hear unsolicited advice from people.
Unsolicited advice is never. I mean, unless you're somebody who has an actual shared consequence based on someone's, like my husband can give me unsolicited advice.
There's very few people that can.
Correct.
That would be
I think
one.
Grown children could give parents unsolicited advice, and certainly parents are, your job is to give advice that you, I mean, I guess as you get older that parents should maybe wait around a little bit. Sometimes you got to make your own mistakes. But if you're a parent and you love that person and you want to say something, you're saying it out of love. You need to do that.
Age is a factor with parents, too. If your kid is pretty young, you're giving unsolicited advice all the time. I'm going to add this one little scenario here. What about if you're drunk?
Getting or giving?
Either.
I love to hear what people say.
Encouraged when always.
Yeah.
Tell me.
How does this make you feel?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you.
Yeah. I'm listening.
It's funny that you say that because Dr. Kelly, psychologist, says even if you've been drinking and have more of an urge to share your thoughts with someone, you shouldn't.
Okay.
I'm just glad they put that in there. Number two, opinions on other people's parenting decisions.
Yeah. Keep your mouth shut.
What about...
You have to have your private circle, which is usually like your significant other. Say what you want in that little circle about other people's decisions, but...
What about if it's not a moral decision? Like, oh, you really need to watch your screen time or something. That would be like, oh, it's pretty close. But if you have a baby, like giving advice to people, oh, we always use this type of crib or this type of whatever. Nothing? Because I was soaking that stuff in.
But were you putting yourself in a position to receive it?
Not really, but everybody wanted to talk about it, and I was okay with that. It does become a little bit much because a lot of the advice contradicts.
Yeah.
So you got to figure out which one is which, but...
What if it leads to the harm of the child, like someone smoking while they're pregnant or something like that? Is there a line, I'm saying, where it gets too, like, it's like, okay, that's enough. I know that's an extreme case.
Are you walking up to a stranger who appears to be pregnant?
Smacking a cigarette
and being like, that's going to be really bad for the baby.
None of this is this is all with people that we probably at least are acquaintances with. So I would say that I'm not thinking about that specific scenario.
Acquaintance
or friends.
You know, that's something like that. Here's the thing. If it's just an acquaintance and you're not super close to them and they're smoking a cigarette while they're pregnant, are you going to say to them, you know, it could really harm the baby to smoke a cigarette? Are they going to go, oh, are you serious? I didn't know that.
It might be enough social pressure for them to reconsider it, though.
And if they're just acquaintances, maybe you don't care enough about the relationship to where you're willing to say it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Best case scenario, smack it out of their hand, say, didn't know if you might be pregnant or not.
Oh, don't do that.
You seem to be pregnant.
You kind of look like you might be pregnant.
Is that cigarette
really
a good idea?
I just wanted an excuse to hit someone.
Right. You're carrying a little extra here. Just worried about what you're doing with your mouth there. That's my advice.
Man,
unsolicited.
And that's how you die.
And do it at a bus stop.
Yeah, but if they're that big, you can outrun them.
Bus stop. Or a subway station.
See, this is terrible. No, this is horrible.
By the way, Brad walked up to me after I sent this article to our group chat and goes, and he didn't even know. He goes, hey, you're getting a lot of gray in your beard. Like, what? Why'd you just say that?
That was really helpful.
And also, number six is body comments.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about it.
I'm going to skip to that one right now.
Yeah, what's it say about that?
You should keep your thoughts about someone else's body to yourself.
100% of the time.
Even if someone directly asks you a question about their body.
100% of the time.
That was 100% unsolicited advice. And I don't even know if it was advice.
It wasn't advice.
He was just pointing it out. You got a lot of gray in that beard, old man.
Yeah.
And then he goes, but it's okay because I'm getting some too.
This is the amazing part of this. It wasn't even on air for the people.
No. He just walks up to me. I'm sitting in my office.
It's not like it's like, ooh, let's keep playing on how old Ryan is joke. It was just, just between the two of you.
Are clothing comments included in body?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Oh, is that, did I hurt your feelings too?
I'm just thinking of another
scenario. Nothing today.
I'm just remembering a scenario.
He just dresses like a slob.
Oh my gosh.
My gosh.
Gosh, Brad.
Who does he think he
this
is?
This segment is for you.
I am hurt. My feelings are
hurt. He's like, oh, are you upset about that? This happened like 3 months ago.
He remembers
it.
You are ripping out old wounds.
My gosh,
you brought it up, not me.
You know what, though?
Because he's hurt.
I'm hurt.
In my scenario, we weren't even having a conversation. He walks around the corner, walks in my office, and he goes, your beard, it's getting kind of gray.
Ryan, what did you say in response?
I said, did you see the article I just sent to the group chat?
That's what you said.
Yes.
And he said?
He goes, oh, yeah, but this wasn't related to that. And then so it wasn't even, I'm like, you're not even doing material. You're not even doing something on air.
That was from his heart.
Yeah. That's why it hurt.
Wait, so Brad, let me ask you this. Was it an observation you made once you walked in, or was it something that you were like, you were sitting at your desk, you're like,
I gotta tell him how gray his beard is.
It's
killing me. I gotta go tell him how gray his beard is.
I know I was coming over to tell him something else, and it was just an angle thing.
Hey, Brian, own the gray.
Oh, I am. I'm not doing anything about it.
Yeah. Hey, I think the whole two-tone thing you got going on is pretty rad.
Makes me look rich, like Nanny says. If you start to look older as a man, you
depends.
Look richer.
It kind of depends on the person.
I don't think so. Now you're commenting on my body.
Everybody is.
Yes, you are.
I think everything
does
in here
it
is
all the time.
No. No. How many more? You skipped to six.
Would you say that my jawline is cut like a Spartan?
Do you want me to?
I do.
I think it's.
You're
nails.
Not supposed to comment.
Like a Spartan.
Even if they solicit it.
You can't make the rules. You're the only one person here.
You're the only one
daily.
Insulting, Brad.
Yeah.
You're the one that said, nope, never. And then he said, even if it's solicited,
I'm not
don't
commenting
do it.
On his body. I asked him, is that what you want me to say? And he said, yes. And I said it.
Yeah, is it only compliments? Or is it only... Is it anything
no
or
comment.
Just
no,
insults
no
you can't say?
So
no compliments either.
Not. I mean, no we're talking about acquaintances outside of like... incredibly familiar, right? None of this has to do with your spouse or your great friends or anything like that, right?
I think so. I think there's an inner circle that this doesn't apply
to. We're talking about casual acquaintances, coworkers, people you might like work on PTA with or go to baseball games with because your kid... Like, these are friendships that are not next level.
Yeah. The head of the PTA just told me I'm dressing kind of sloppy.
Man, your beard...
Your belt looks old.
What?
Belt? Why are you looking at their belt?
Tell me you said belt.
I thought you said butt.
I said belt.
Okay.
Commenting on someone's body, even with the best of intentions.
Don't do it.
Or even if you think it's a compliment, is best kept to yourself. I don't love that. I think that people like compliments. And the motivation is everything. We've talked about this before. Your motivation for why you're saying it matters. And that's why I didn't like Brad's, because he was just mean.
I was just trying to get you to cry.
It almost worked.
Oh. Every time I think we're going to get like an explanation to understand better, he's like, no, I was trying to be mean.
No, yeah. I was being mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last
Good
one.
Good to know.
Details of a private conversation should be kept to yourself.
See, I'm probably the worst person to ask this, because I don't really talk about anything.
What are you talking about?
What does
you
that
talk
mean?
All the time.
I know, but all this stuff, I just... On the air is a different version of me than... I'm a private person.
Uh-huh. Do you want me to tell you secrets?
Yeah. And I won't tell anyone.
Okay. I'll tell you all my secrets.
All right, 2 o'clock.
This song ended up being way more fitting than we thought it was going to be. Because
you guys need a minute to soak
Ryan
in
and
the
I are
here's what I want to do. I want to go out a little early, give it a nice 15 seconds of just listening to the song.
And, you know, prep to
now
listen to...
Now you ruined
to...
it. Now we only get
it's
10.
It's my show, and I want to tell people that Troy Murdoch and Stewie are coming up next. Now sit here and listen to this song and feel
Five
sad.
5 seconds now.